welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour, Indiana. Our flowers this morning is sponsored by Glenda Burton in honor and memory of Hiram. The radio is sponsored by Pam Weddle in memory of Roger and Mark. We also invite you to join us Sunday morning in the worship service at 10 a.m. And you can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further support the building of Iscam, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our scripture this morning is from Exodus 17, 1 through 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff that which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Hebron. Strike the rock. The water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. Then he called the place Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Our sermon this morning is "Water from the Rock" by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Our passage focuses on a miracle story, which should inspire wonder and awe and amazement in us. Should not miracles inspire wonder and awe? Unfortunately, the Israelites had grown tired. They had lost their way. They became a complaining lot of people. They wanted God to prove to them that he was God. "Do not test your Lord," the word says. They wanted God to prove that he was God by providing water from them. When it comes to being followers of Jesus Christ, we know that believing, which is a way of thinking, is best. It is effective only when thinking comes out of living. In other words, we are to act our way, live our way into right thinking. How many baby boomers do we have here? I'm a baby boomer by 1 year, mind you. I was born in 1964. We baby boomers are getting ready to flood the Social Security system and probably overwhelm it just a bit. We grew up grooving to the Beatles and rocking out to the Stones. Some of us got a little political and protested war. Many of us, many more than any other time, went to college. We were the ones who were going to change the world. Well, so much for good intentions. Some things did change during those times. Perhaps the most significant thing that shifted in those years was the way that we trust our leaders. Born of Vietnam and Watergate, I remember my sister and I sitting there watching Nixon do this and laughing our heads off because we had no idea what was really going on. You see, before that, we had an inherent respect and trust in our leaders. Not so much today. We have trouble trusting our leaders today. I can recall my grandparents reflecting upon that trust and doing their duty in their community. Everything from serving in the military. My papa served at the end of World War II and the Korean War, and he tried to sign up for the Vietnam War. My grandparents did everything from volunteering for civic duties to a volunteer fire department, to going to the school and helping with the kids. How many remember your moms helping in your class or at the school somewhere? It's pretty rare today. There was a completely different view on how we lived as society and how we trusted the leadership in our society. That trust unraveled in the wake of the 1960s. If it feels good, do it. We sang of our anger. We sang our protest during the Vietnam War. All of the songs were about protest. Today, we still sing loudly about our protest. Today, we still have a lack of trust in our government, in our civic organizations, and in our church. I can remember a time where pastors just by their office were trusted and respected. They were vetted well, especially in the United Methodist Church. They are still vetted very well. Ask Mark. He's been through all the psychologicals. He's going through that vetting process. But people have less trust and faith. Check with any organization that runs on volunteers. They're hurting. I don't care if it's Meals for Wheels or opposite there, or any other organization that requires volunteers. We have a hard time getting those volunteers today. We have a hard time trusting leadership with good reason. But the Word of God tells us that we are to pray for our leadership. It doesn't say pray for them if you like them. Pray for them if you voted for them. In my opinion, you need to pray more for them if you did not. The folks who have matured, the baby boomers who grew up, have now turned away from the trust that they once have. We don't much like our leaders, whether it's presidents, Congress, governors, mayors, or even pastors. We just don't trust them anymore. We are the perfect reflection of the people of Israel described in today's passage. They wanted a way. They did not want to be slaves. They wanted out of Egypt. But once Moses got him out of Egypt, all they could do was complain about every little thing. Why did you take us out of there? Did you bring us out here so that we would starve to death? And God provided manna miraculously. And after a while, they started grumbling again. We're tired of this manna stuff. We want meat. And God sends flocks of quails to drop dead at their feet. A miracle. A miracle. I think for a couple of days they were okay. They ate their fill of meat. And then they started whining again. They came to a point in their journey where they started struggling with being thirsty. Did you bring us out here to die of thirst? Moses is like, what am I going to do with these people? They're ready to stone me. And God says, you listen to me. You are going to take your staff, the staff that you struck the Nile with, and you are going to go to Mount Horeb and strike the stone, and water will come forth from that stone. Living water. I hurt from Moses sometimes. Moses spent 40 years leading those people, putting his entire being into leading those people. Anyone who tries to step into the role of leadership nowadays becomes a target. The minute you are up front, people are going to judge everything you say and do. So you better be right with God. And you better not worry about pleasing people. You better worry about pleasing God. And beloved, if you step into a leadership position and you have any skeletons in your closet, they are getting drug out. I'm fine with that. I just throw mine all out there and let you see them before you can try to discover them all on your own. Because you see, I'm like one of these people in this book. He uses cracked pots. He uses criminals. He uses the backward and the wayward to further his kingdom here on earth. Moses was a murderer. David, an adulterer and a murderer. And God worked mightily through them. He does the same today. Our current climate in our culture makes accepting leadership very difficult. We are bent towards being cynical. We are bent towards being untrusting. The mortar that holds us together as community has been deteriorating for years. Who can blame Moses for running to God? He cries out before God, what do you want me to do with these people? I'm doing my best, and they're ready to stone me. It seems we have much in common with this Exodus people. Not only do we whine and complain and fail to trust our leaders, we're also like them in wandering around and around and around in a wilderness. However, this wilderness is of our own making. Our thirst does not come from a lack of water. Our hunger does not come from a lack of food. Our thirst, our hunger comes from not being connected to God. We heard this morning in Sunday school, we have a God-shaped hole inside of us. The only thing that can satisfy and fill is that living water. The only thing that is going to help us be able to trust and live through these dark ages is having trust and faith in God. And that comes to our leadership too. You have to have trust and faith in God that no matter what the leaders do, you're going to be okay. He's going to get you through it. You're eventually going to arrive at the promised land. Our spirits are parched by the lack of community and the lack of trust. We hunger for a fresh vision and for direction, and yet we are unable to move forward because we don't trust. And if we don't trust, we can't take the next step. You know, the Bible tells us that we get light for the next step. It doesn't say the next mile. It says the next step. When they crossed the Red Sea, they had to put their foot in the water before those waters parted. We have to have trust and faith in God for Him to move on our account. Trust and faith is a tough thing. What happens if we love someone and they hurt us? What happens if we follow a leader and that leader turns out to lead us someplace that we can't or don't want to go? Let me say this, beloved. If you trust, your trust will be betrayed. If you love your loved one at some point in life, will hurt you. That's a given. That's part of life. For me personally, I put my trust and faith in my God. I love with my whole heart, and I trust God to pick up the pieces if that love does not work out. I trust the leadership that God has put before me. Inasmuch as I know no matter what happens, God is the ultimate authority. And I will end up in heaven. I will end up in the promised land. Humans are imperfect. We hurt one another. It happens all the time. I don't care how much you love someone. You will eventually step on their toes or break their hearts. And who do we turn to then? We turn to God to help us mend those hearts, to help us to forgive that person. Because, beloved, love is the greatest beauty that we have. Love is full of wonder and awe. And beloved, wonder and awe and reverence in our God, being able to love one another, makes life worth living. I've been that person that trusted absolutely nothing and no one. I was not going to love. And then God told me I had to open my heart. So I tried for many years to only love my kids, to only love the people that I wanted to love. It does not work that way. You have to open up. You have to open up. You have to trust. But I am suggesting that maybe it's not so much the person in front of you that you trust. It is our Heavenly Father. You trust Him. When you give your heart completely to a friend, to a love relationship, to your child. Because, beloved, our children will hurt us. It's a given. It is part of life. Let's take Moses as our example. He was wanted for murder. He had a questionable character, even under the best of circumstances. Martin Luther King Jr., it has been learned, was less than perfect in his life. But still, it is abundantly clear that he was a man of God, sent to lead God's people out of the sin of racism. Look at JFK. Amazing leader. But he wasn't perfect. He stumbled. He fell. Indeed, look at all of the people who God tends to lift up for leadership. St. Paul, was he worthy of God's trust? No, he was the biggest persecutor of Christians that there were. Peter, the rock upon whom the church was built, was he worthy of Christ's trust? But Christ told him he knew what he was going to do. And he said, when, not if, when you turn back, encourage your brethren. They, like us, are imperfect people in search of a perfect wonder. You see, stepping into the waters of trust and openness does not in any way ensure that you will be unharmed in this life. As a matter of fact, it ensures that you will be harmed. It's a lot like faith, beloved. In fact, it involves a lot of faith. Our belief in God and our trust in God's word through Jesus Christ constitute in an insurance policy against the evils and the pain of this world. Because no matter what in this world harms us, our God can heal us. He can heal a broken heart. He can help us learn to trust again. He can help us to forgive so that we can go on without burdens. Life without faith, life without trust, life without risking what it takes to have faith and trust is a barren and painful thing. When you distrust everyone around you, you are closed off to everything. I would suggest to each of us that we could all use a little bit more trust and faith in our daily lives. Whether that trust and faith is democracy, whether it is of our government, our mayor, our pastor, our neighbor, we have to be able to have faith that God is going to help us get through anything, no matter what happens. We need to do more, beloved. Whether it is trusting a church leader or a community leader, we need to risk so that we might be moved forward. Not trusting, being closed off, makes us stand still, which in faith makes us go backwards. Does this mean that we have to be naive? Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. We do have to be naive. Jesus Christ told us that we needed to be like the child. We needed to have amazement, wonder, trust. We needed to be open like a child is. He didn't say we needed to be childish. When we hold on to bitterness, when we hold on to past harms, when we refuse to trust people we barely know, we are being childish, not childlike. We are called to shed the scales of cynicism and step forward into joyful abandon, trusting God the Father to get us through whatever is before us. In short, we need to be able to read this story from Exodus with a deep awareness that in this instance, God's people were not offering behavior that we need to imitate. in this Lenten time, as we journey through a wilderness of our own making, maybe we could try to trust a little more. Perhaps we could risk a little more. Perhaps we can transform this wilderness of our own making, of cynicism, of doubt, of lack of trust, of hurry, of all the things, perhaps through trust, through love, through faith, we can transform it into a garden of beauty, of faith, of joy, of knowing deep within us that God's got us no matter what happens.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground.